We're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Dalet. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Gimel Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Omar Rebbe Loza. Rebbe Loza says that the following four quotes, three of them are Mishnayos, one of them is a Braisa, and in all of them we see there's a certain Isser, a certain prohibition from doing it on Shabbos, and they are related to the Isser of Muktzah, and we're not sure why these things should be muktzah. Rabbi Eliezer says that these Mishnayos are talking about the stages, as we saw in the last shiur, that muktzah was developed in a number of stages. It started off in the time of David HaMelech, at least in the time of David HaMelech, and then after that, in the time of Nehemiah. The Gemara says Nehemiah ben Chachalio, he saw that people were being lax with muktzah, and he actually saw they were carrying on Shabbos, and he came to the understanding that what's necessary to reinforce the Kedusha of Shabbos and Halachos of Shabbos is to make many, many things Muktzah. So he made a very broad Isser of Muktzah, and as people became more diligent with Halachos of Shabbos, then he removed the stringencies of Muktzah, and leaving us with where we are today, with our lochas of muktzah we know and we're learning about in this masechta. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Loza is going to say that these four Mishnayos seem to be talking about one of the more previous stages of muktzah, when more things were muktzah then than they are today. What are these four Mishnayos? Konin, which are the tubes. We'll soon see what these are. Umaklois, and these are a type of staffs, type of sticks. Glustera, a type of a knob, umaducha, and a grinding tool, a grinding bowl. The maducha is the grinding bowl. These four Mishnayos have a chumrah, and they do not seem to conform with the kulas and with the halachas of muktzah that we know. So Rabbi Loza seems that this is going on a previous stage. Kulon koidim hatoras kelim nishnu, these Mishnayos and Braisa was learned before muktzah, before kelim, utensils became mutar, before the is of muktzah was removed. The first one is konin. What are konin? Konin are tubes. What tubes are we talking about? And so it goes as follows. In the Beis HaMikdash, we know there was a table there, a shulchan. On the shulchan, there were two piles of six breads on each, known as the lechem haponim. Every Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim would bake and prepare 12 breads. On Shabbos morning, they would replace the breads that were put there last Shabbos morning, take them off and distribute it to the Kohanim to eat, and replace it with the new breads. In order that the air should be able to get in between the breads and they shouldn't decay, they shouldn't become foul, they would have these rods, these konin, and they would be placed between the supports holding up this relatively tall contraption that was holding these 12 breads. Now, to arrange these konim on Shabbos, these konim are a keli shemelachto leheter. There's no reason it should be muktzah to do anything with them. But nonetheless, it says in the Mishnah, loy sidur hakonim v'loy netilos on doiches haShabbos. They were not allowed to arrange these tubes, nor take them off. They would have to remove these tubes in order to put the breads on. After the breads were on, they would have to replace these tubes. All that was not allowed on Shabbos. What did they do? On Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos came in, they would remove all the tubes, and the breads would actually be sitting on top of each other until Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, they would replace the breads, and again, without tubes, the breads would just be sitting on each other. On Motzah Shabbos, they would replace the tubes. Now, the very fact that it says here that these konin, which are keli shemelachto leheter, one was not allowed to move them on Shabbos, it seems that this Mishnah was learnt at the stage where Kedi Shemelachtei Leheter Letzairich Kufoy was still Osa. Says the Gemara Maklois, these sticks, what sticks are we talking about? Ditnan, we learnt in another Mishnah, a Mishnah in Psochim, Maklois, Dakin, Chalokin, there were thin, smooth sticks, Hoyushom, there was in the Beis HaMikdash, Umanichoy al Kseifoy v'al Koseif Chaveroy, and they would place them on his own shoulder and on the shoulder of his friends, going across from one shoulder to the next, V'toyle, and they would hang the korban from these sticks, Umafshit, and they would remove its skin. What was going on here? We know that many korbanos are not allowed to be put onto the Mizbeach with their skin on. the Korban Pesach included. They would have to, before they would, it's not, regarding the Korban Pesach, it was not about putting on the Mizbeach, it's about roasting it, but they would have to remove the skin. So there were special hooks, pegs, in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would hang Korbanos, they would hang the animal from these hooks, and then they would be able to remove its skin. On Erev Pesach, there were so many people there, it wasn't possible for everybody to be able to get to those few hooks that were there. So what they did was, they took some sticks, together with their friends, two people. They would put the sticks from one shoulder, Reuven's right-hand shoulder, to Shimon's left-hand shoulder, and the same possibly on the other side. And then they would hang the korban from these sticks, and they would remove it that way. So the Mishnah says in Psachim that that's all very good if Erev Pesach was during the week. But if it was on Shabbos, Omer Beloza, Barbos, Shecholies B'Shabbos, if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, Maniach Yodoy Al Kosef Chaveir Eviat Chaveir Al Kasefoy, V'Toyle Omafshit, they would not be allowed to use these sticks, even though they are Keli Shemelachte Leheter. And what all they would do is they would put their hands on top of their friend's shoulder. A person would put his right hand on his friend's left shoulder, or left hand on his friend's right shoulder, and from his outstretched arms, they would support the korban, and that's how they would skin it. So the very fact that they were not allowed to use these sticks on Shabbos, even though they were keli shemelachta leheter, according to Rebbe Loza, it would seem that it was this Mishnah was learned at one of the very early stages after Nechemya ben Chachalya made the gzeiros on Muktzah. Glustera, the third Mishnah, and this is referring to a glustera. What's a glustera? A glustera is a type of a bolt that was used to lock a door, and this bolt was put between a loop in the door and a loop in the threshold or a loop in the doorway, wherever it may have been. And typically this bolt had a ball-shaped bolt at the end of it. And the fact that this bolt is used to lock a door, that would not render it a kli. And we're going to see that later on Daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis, that something that's used to lock a door is considered part of the building, not a kli. However, this bolt does have the status of a kli, because the bolt with a knob at the end of it was able to be used also as a tool for grinding, as a pestle. So it does have the status of a kli shemelachto leheter. So this bolt, we would have thought, would not be muktzah on Shabbos, according to the halachas of muktzah that we know. However, the Mishnah regarding this nagor, this bolt, sheyesh b'roishei glustera, that has a bolt, a knob at the end of it, the Mishnah then, Kelim, Perek Yudalef, says as follows. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, shem tom min pesach ze v'toile b'chaveiroi b'shabbos. You're allowed to drag it out of this door, away from this door, drag it to a different door that you need it, and you're allowed to use it there. But you're not allowed to actually carry this bolt in a regular, normal fashion, because it's muktzah on Shabbos, or has some level of muktzah on it, even though it's a klisha melachta leheter. Reb Tarfon argues with Rabbi Yeshua and said, Harheu kakol hakelim, it's got the same status as any other kli that you're allowed to take from one place to the next, umeteltel b'chotzer, and you can take it across the chotzer from one door to the next and use it elsewhere. That was the third Mishnah. And here again, since it's a kli shemelachto leheter, and nonetheless it was also to move it according to Rabbi Yeshua, so you see there, this Mishnah was probably learnt at some point before the final kulas that we have today in Muktzah. Meducha, the fourth bright, this is a brisa, and we've seen this already. Hada Omron, we already saw previously that a meducha, which is a bowl that's used to grind in, and it says there that if there's garlic in it, you're allowed to move it. Like you can move the garlic, you can move the bowl with it. If there's no garlic with it, ein metaltelin oisa, you're not even allowed to use it, even though it's a klisha melachte le'isar, you're not even allowed to use it for something that's muta le'tzerich gufoi, for example, to turn it upside down and sit on it, it's still osa. And this is one of the more previous stages of the Issa Muktza, and not in the final stages of Muktza that we know about, that Klisha Melachta Le'issa Le'tzerich Gufay is not Muktza on Shabbos. So this is what Rabbi Loza said, that these four halachas seem to be applying to an earlier stage, but today these would all not be mukta. Now regarding meducha, Rashi reminds us that the Gemara is actually asked a few times, how does the brisa of meducha work with the halachas that we have of mukta? And the Gemara says that according to Rava, we said that mechamo letzel, since it's a klisha belachte le'isser, you're allowed to use it at tzayrach gufa yom ha'koymoy, but you're not allowed to use it if the only use you have is that you're protecting it. That level of use is so minute that it's not allowed in for klisha melachte le'isser. And according to Abaya, who's even more machmir than Rava, Abaya said that you're not allowed to move it letzayrach mekoymoy, but you are allowed to use it letzayrach gufoy. And the Brice is only talking about Letzerich Mekoyme, which is Asa. And the Tarashi brings, the Barashi says that those explanations, those assumptions that the Brice that says it's Asa is talking about only moving it Letzerich Mekoyme or moving it Mechamo Letzel, that's not probable. And therefore, over here, Belazo said that the Brice was probably learnt before the Mukta became Mutter. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba. Rabba is commenting now on what Rabbi Loza said. Mimai, how do you know that these three Mishnayos and Brisa were learnt before the time of the Heta of Mukta? Dilma, maybe la'olam eimu l'chol achar haToras kelim nishnu. Rabba says, I can explain to you all these four halachas even after the halachas of Mukta that we have after haToras kelim. How? Kinim, or konim, those rods that were used to put into the shulchan between the breads, tamamai. Why did they use these rods at all? Mishum ipushe, in order that the breads should not decay. Bahai purta loy miapash, those few hours between Friday night when these rods were removed and Shabbos morning when they would take the breads off the shulchan, and those few hours between when they would put the new breads on and Motzah Shabbos when they would put these rods back, in those few hours the bread would not decay, and since it's not necessary to put those rods in, they did not put these rods in on Shabbos. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim why there should be an issue with it. It's a Kedisha L'melachta L'Heter, why not put them in? What was the issue here? So that's something discussed in the Rishonim. Makleis, regarding the sticks that they wouldn't use on Erev Pesach if it was Shabbos, Efshel K'Rebbe Elazar. Since here again, since it's possible to manage without using those sticks by just putting your arm onto your friend's shoulder, then why resort to using these kelim on Shabbos if you can manage without? And here too, the Mefarshim discuss what the problem should be. Glustera, regarding the knob, which is a klisha melachte leheter, it was used also as a pestle. And why according to Rabbi Yeshua, were you not allowed to carry it normally? Kedir Rabbi Yanai. Doma Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai explains this Mishnah, b'chotzer she'enoi me'ureves askinon. We're talking about that the knob is now in a door on one side of the chotzer. The other door you want this knob is on the other side of the chotzer. And this chotzer actually does not have an eruv. We've mentioned a few times, a chotzer with and of itself is a rishus hayochid. You're allowed to carry there. However, since the chotzer is used by all the different homeowners that have entrances into the chotzer, it looks like you're carrying from the rishus hayochid of every person's home into a chotzer which, technically speaking, is also Rishus HaYochid, but it's Rishus HaYochid, a communal type of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the Chachomim said, you're not allowed to do that unless you do something that combines that all the people in all the homes, and that's called an Eruv. You take a piece of bread, or take some food belonging to all the people in all the homes, you put it in one of the homes, and then since we know that a person's place, his Mokim Shvisa, is dependent on where his food is, so when Shabbos came in, it was as if everybody is based in one home, and then the chotzer then is, so to speak, an annex to a single home, and then everyone's allowed to carry there. However, there's one detail one has to remember here, that since the chotzer, as of itself, is a Rishus HaYochid, anything that was in the chotzer when Shabbos came in, you're allowed to carry freely in the chotzer. However, you're not allowed to take things from the homes into the chotzer, or from the chotzer into the homes, unless you have an Eruv. So Rabbi Yanai says, this Mishnah is talking about a chotzer that does not have an Eruv. So Rabbi Yeshua says that Toich HaPesach, the hollow in the door frame, which is where this knob is positioned, it's in the door, in the doorway. It's a bolt closing a door, holding a door closed. So that hollow inside the doorway is actually considered kelefonim domi. It's got the status of being inside the home. Since there's no Eruv, you're not allowed to carry it normally from the doorway into the chotzer and through the chotzer, because it's similar to carrying from the Rosh HaYochid, from the home into the chotzer. And that would be osir. Ukumataltel mona debatim b'chotzer. And then you're carrying something from a home into the chotzer, and that is osir. And the Rishonim here, the Miuchas Leran and the Ritva ask, if so, how are you allowed to drag the key, this bolt, across the chotzer? And the Rishonim discuss that. The Reb Tarfon Sovar, Reb Tarfon, who says that you can carry this normally, he holds that Toich HaPesach Kolechutz Domi, even though it's within the hollow of the door frame, but since it's on the outer side of the door, Reb Tarfon holds that the hollow in the door frame is considered as outside the house. It's considered as if it's in the chotzer, and anything that was in the chotzer when Shabbos came in, you're allowed to carry within the chotzer. Umana de chotzer, the chotzer komateltel, the kelim that were in the chotzer when Shabbos came in, one's allowed to carry in the chotzer. And therefore, this Mishnah could be learnt even after Hatoras kelim. Meducha, in the case of Meducha, that the Braisa said you're not allowed to use it, even the Tzeirich Gufoy, Reb Nechemyah here is referring to Reb Nechemyah. Reb Nechemyah holds that a kli is, even a kli from Melachta Leheter, is only ever allowed to be used for its own primary use. And since this bowl is used for grinding exclusively, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. You cannot use it to grind, obviously, but you're not allowed to use it even to turn it upside down and to sit on it. Continues the next Mishnah. Kol hakelim, any utensils, any vessels, nitlin, are allowed to be moved and taken, letzeirach, v'sheloi letzeirach. Irrespective of whether you need it to use it, or whether you don't need it. And the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. Reb Nechemyah says, ein nitlin elo letzeirach, you're only allowed to use any kli, kol hakelim, to use it for the use in which they were officially and primarily dedicated for. Says the Gemara, Mai letzeirich umay sheloi letzeirich. We saw here that the Tanakhama say that you're allowed to use any kelim, you're allowed to move any kelim, letzeirich and sheloi letzeirich. What does letzeirich mean? What does sheloi letzeirich mean? So Rabbi says as follows, letzeirich is dovo shemelachte lehete letzeirich gufay. When the Mishnah says you're allowed to move a keli, letzeirich, it means if it's a kli shemelachte leheter, and you're using it, letzeirach kufay, you're allowed to remove it, it's not mukta. Shaloi letzeirach means dovo shemelachte leheter, letzeirach mekoimoy. Which means that the Tanakhama is only talking about a kli shemelachte leheter. You're allowed to use it irrespective, you're allowed to move it irrespective of whether you want to use it, or if you just want to move it away from its place in order to be able to do something else. In that place, it's mutter. That is how that's what Rabbah says. And now Rabbah continues, and this is not halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, that dovo shemelachte le'isser, regarding a kli shemelachte le'isser, le'tzerech gufay in, le'tzerech mekoyma yloi, one's only allowed to move it if you want to actually use it, not if you just want to vacate the place where the kli was. And for those that remember, this Rabbah is exactly the opinion of Abaya we saw in the previous sugya. And some actually have the girsa here, the version in the Gemara, not Omar Rabbah, rather Omar Abaya. And this was the opinion of Abaya, that according to the Tanakhama, the halacha is kli shemelachte leheter is mutter letzeirach gufoy and letzeirach mekoymoy. You'll notice that it does not mention mechamo letzeil according to Abaya, and Rabbah here it's osa. And the kli shemelachte leiser is only mutter letzeirach gufoy. Va'osar Reb Nechemya lemeimar. And then how is now Rabbah explaining Reb Nechemya? Reb Nechemya says, "Afilu dovo shemelachte leheter, even a kli which is primary use is to do something which is mutter on Shabbos, letzeirach gufay in, you're allowed to use it letzeirach gufay, letzeirach mekoymoy loy, but you're not allowed to use it letzeirach mekoymoy." means even a regular kli, which is melachta leheter, you're only allowed to use it if you want to use the kli. And we know that it's not only you want to use it, you have to be using it for the use that it was primarily made for and dedicated for. To move it away because you want to vacate the place, that's not called using it letzairach, and it's definitely not called using it for its own dedicated use, and therefore you're not allowed to move it. That's the opinion of Reb Nechemya. Omer le Rava. Rava is now commenting on Rabba, on his explanation of the Mishnah. So you Rabba, which is following the opinion of Abaya, that's all very good. We understand where you're coming from, where your halachic rulings are coming from. But we're trying to learn a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol ha-kelim nitlin l'tzayrach v'shalei l'tzayrach. The Tanakhama say you're allowed to move a kli irrespective of whether you need it or you don't need it. And you Rabba said that shalei l'tzayrach means l'tzayrach mekoymoi. If I need to vacate the place where the kli was, it's called a tzayrach. How can you call it shalei letzayrach? Ela omar Rava. Rava explains the Mishnah differently. And Rava says as follows, and this is actually Rava l'shitasoi on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. In the previous daf, we'll see that the Rava actually follows these halachas. This is what he holds. Letzayrach, what does it mean that kol hakelim nitlim letzayrach? Is a davar shemelachtoi leheter? We're again talking about a klisha melachta leheter. Bein letzayrach gufoi, bein letzayrach makoymoi. They're both called letzayrach and you're allowed to move it. Shaloi letzayrach, the Tanakhama in the Mishnah say you're allowed to move this kli, even shaloi letzayrach, afilu mechamo letzayl. And this was Rava's opinion, that one's allowed to move a klisha melachta leheter, even if the use is so small, all you're doing is moving it from a sunny place to a shady place to protect it. And Rava continues, and this again is not part of the Mishnah, but part of Rava's truth, that v'dava shemelachta le'isar, if it's a kli shemelachta le'isar, le'tzayrach kufoy u le'tzayrach mekoymoy in, you're allowed to move it, le'tzayrach kufoy and le'tzayrach mekoymoy, mechame lotel, but you're not allowed to move it out of the sun if that's all you're trying to gain. V'osob nechem yelemeymar, according to Rava, what's Rav Nechemya hold? Afilu davar shemelachtoi leheter, letzayrach gufoy or letzayrach mekoymoy in mechamo letzel loy. According to this Rava, Rav Nechemya actually holds that kli shemelachtoi leheter, you are allowed to move it letzayrach gufoy and letzayrach mekoymoy, but you're not allowed to move it mechamo letzel. And even though, according to Rav Nechemya, you're only allowed to move a kli if you're moving it for a use that it was primarily dedicated for, so letzayrach gufay, I can understand. You can use it for what it's supposed to be used for. Letzayrach mekoymei, what does that mean? So Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph asks this question, and Tosfos brings an answer that says that part of the use of a kli is to move it aside and to put it away when it's not needed where it is now or when it's getting in the way. That's considered as part of the tzorkon, as part of the use of the kli. Now, it goes without saying that since Rav Nechemya says that you're only allowed to use a kli for a use that it was made for, that when the Mishnah says here, Rav Nechemya Omer, ein nitlin elo letzayrach, and this both according to Rabba and according to Rava, Rabba, who says that Rav Nechemya only allows letzayrach gufoy, and Rava that says even letzayrach mekoymoy, we're obviously only talking about a kli shemelachta leheter. A kli shemelachta leiser, according to Rav Nechemya, you're never allowed to move it, because since you're only ever allowed to move a kli letzayrach, and not a stam letzayrach, but tzayrach for what it was made for, and since a kli shemelachta leiser was made to do an iser, you're never allowed to move a kli shemelachta leiser, according to Rav Nechemya. And over here, when Rav Nechemya says that letzayrach, it's talking about only a kli shemelachtoi leheter. That's how Rashi learns this sugya. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chanina, V'yosef Ukomra L'Rabba Aliba D'Rab Nechemya. And they were sitting, these three chachomim were sitting, and they asked the following question. According to Rabba, Aliba D'Rab Nechemya, we just saw that Rabba says that according to Rav Nechemya, you're allowed to move these kelim shemelachta leheter letzayrach gufoy, but not letzerich makoimoi. We saw according to Rava, Rav Nechemya allows you to move it letzerich makoimoi. But according to Rabba, you're not allowed to move it letzerich makoimoi. Hanik orois heichem metaltelinon. We all know, and it was taken for granted, that the ka'orois, the bowls, when you're finished using them, you're allowed to move them away, allowed to vacate them from where they are, and take them to the sink, to wash them, whatever. You don't need to leave them on the table. Heichem metaltelinon. According to Rav Nechemya, how are you allowed to move these kelim if you're not allowed to move them letzerich makoimoi? Omar luhur of Safra, midi dehava agraf sharei. You're right. Technically speaking, it should be osur to move bowls after you've used them, according to Rav Nechemya. However, Rav Safra explained we're talking about that it's similar to a graf sherei, which is a vessel that is holding excrement, and it's very repulsive to leave it there. It's a dirty kelim, and therefore it's not because it's letzerich makoimoi, but because the Chachomim said that when it comes to graf shel rei, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, so too you're allowed to move these ka'oris, these bowls, on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omer le'abaya le'rabba. Abaya now asked Rabba a question. Lemar alibud Reb Nechemya. You, Rabba, who explained the Mishnah, and you said that Reb Nechemya holds that a kli shemelachto leheter, you're allowed to move it letzerich kufoy, but not letzerich makoimoi. Ka'oris heichem metaldinon hu. The same question as we saw before, but now it was Abaya who asked Rabba directly, how could you move those bowls? Omer lu. So Rabba explained, Reb Safra chaverin, Reb Safra our colleague, he already tirgamo explained midi dehava graf shel rei. So it seems that the first story with Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, they asked this question, and Rav Safra explained that one's allowed to move the bowls with Graf Shel Rei. At some point later, Abaya asked Rabba, and Rabba quoted Rav Safra, saying that you're allowed to move these bowls because it's Graf Shel Rei. Continues the Gemara. Eisve Abaya le Rava. Abaya is now asking a question on Rava. Meducha, we learnt in the Braisa, that this grinding bowl, im yesh bashum, if there's garlic, which is food, in the bowl, metaltelin oiso, you're allowed to move the bowl with the garlic. Since you're allowed to move the garlic, you're allowed to move the bowl with it. Ve'im lav, but if there's no garlic in the bowl, in metaltelin oiso, you're not allowed to move it at all. And according to you, Rava, you Rava say, that even a klisha melachtoi le'isser, le'tzerich gufoi and le'tzerich mekoimoi, you're allowed to move it. So why does the Braisa say you're not allowed to move it? Says the Gemara, Hochab mayoskinon mechamo letzel. You're right. You're not allowed to move it mechamo letzel, just to take it out of the sunlight. But you are allowed to move it letzerich kufoy and letzerich makoimoy. Eisvei. Another question on Rava. Veshovin. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say. And we'll remember we already saw this previously in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, that one was not allowed to. They said you're not allowed to move a pestle on Shabbos in order to chop meat on it. However, there was a machlekes there, especially because of covered Yom Tov, to be able to prepare a meal on Yom Tov. There, the question was that there was a machlekes whether they're allowed to chop the meat onto this pestle. But they both agree, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, she'im kitzev olav basar, once you've cut and chopped the meat on this pestle, using the hard surface of the pestle, she'osa letaltele, you're not allowed to move it anymore. There was a special heter to prepare a Yom Tov meal, but other than that, it's mukta. So the question is, according to Rava, klisha melachto le'isser, is mutter to be moved letzerich kufoy and tzerich mekoimoy? Not allowed to move this pestle, says the Gemara. Hochanami mechamo letzel, the only thing you're not allowed to move it for is if you're moving it out of the sun to put it into the shade. But if you want to use it, letzerich kufoy or letzerich mekoimoy, you are allowed to move it. Continues the Gemara. V'hoditnan, this that we learnt in a Mishnah in Beitza. Ein soimchin es hakadera, if you had a pot, and this pot wasn't standing properly, you wanted to rest it on something to support it, you're not allowed to support a pot, bebikos, on a log of wood, on a piece of wood. V'chein bedeles, and a doorway that needed some support, so you're not allowed to support the door onto a log of wood, onto a piece of wood. Says the Gemara, v'habikos, a log of wood, on Shabbos we understand it's mukta, you can't do anything with it. But the biyontiv, davar shemelachti le'eterhu. Because what do you do with this wood? It's used for firewood. You're allowed to burn a fire on yontiv, you're allowed to cook on yontiv, so this bikos is considered a klisha melachti le'eter on yontiv. So why are you not allowed to move it? Why are you not allowed to use it to support a pot on it or to support a door on it? Alma, davar shemelachti le'eter, you see here that you're not allowed to move even a klisha melachti le'eter, even a tzeirich gufay or mekaymai. Says the Gemara, Hosam Maitama, the reason you're not allowed to support on this wood, you're not allowed to move this piece of wood at all on Yontav, is Kivan de Beshabbos, Dovah Shemelachti Le'isrhu, Gzeira Yontav Otu Shabbos. It's true that if we would only be looking from the eyes of Yom Tov, it would be Klisha Melachti Leheter. But here we're looking at it also from the eyes of Shabbos. Because if you're going to allow you to move this wood on Yom Tov, you may move it on Shabbos. And relative to Shabbos, where you're not allowed to burn fire on Shabbos, this log is a Klisha Melachti Le'isr. And therefore, since it's a Klisha Melachti Le'isr, you're not allowed to move it. Asks the Gemara v'chitema Shabbos gufei tishtari. I don't understand. You're saying on Yom Tov you're not allowed to move it, even though it's klisha melachti leheter, because on Shabbos it's a klisha melachti leiser. So, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to move it. Well, why not? On Shabbos itself it should be mutter da hadavah shemelachti leiser letzerich gufay or letzerich mekayim shori. We've learned, especially according to Rava, that a klisha melachti leiser you're allowed to move on Shabbos. It's not mukta if you want to use it letzerich gufay or letzerich mekayim. Says the Gemara, Hani Mila Heicha De'ika Toiras Kli Olav. All the rules of Mukta we've learned till now apply to vessels, to utensils. You have a Kli, it's a Kli Shemelachti Le'iser, a Kli Shemelachti Le'heter, and all the rules we've learned. But this piece of wood, it's not a Kli. And something that's not considered a Kli is there, it's Mukta on Shabbos, irrespective of whether you're using it L'Tzeirach Gufay or Mekoyme for something Mutta. Heicha De'ika Toiras Kli Olav. If it does not have a kli on, if it's not considered a kli, then it's not got the heterim of. It's not got the heterim of kli that's allowed to be used. And here the Mefarshim discuss that regarding Yom Tov itself, why do we say that it's also on Yom Tov? Because it's also on Shabbos. It should be also on Yom Tov itself because it's not a kli. So then the Mefarshim say that regarding Yontav, that regarding Klisha Melachti Leheter, something that's made to do something Muta, it's not Mukta, even if it doesn't have the title of a Kli. But something that is used for an Issa, and you want it to be Mutter because of Tzeirich Gufay Mekoymoy, that needs to be a Kli. That means to not be Mukta, if it's something which is used for kuloi heter, I don't need a kli for that. If I need a heter of letzeirich gufay or mekoymoy to move something which is generally used leissa, it has to be besides for tzeirich gufay and tzeirich mekoymoy, and not mechamo letzeil. It also has to be a kli, and that's on Shabbos. It's melachti leissa, and therefore, since it's not a kli, you're not allowed to move it. Since you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to move it on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Omigos Rinon, do we make a gzeira Yom Tov Otu Shabbos? That's something which we understand is also on Shabbos, and we understand that it should be mutar on Yom Tov, and you say it's also on Yom Tov just in order to, it's as a gzeira, not to get confused with Shabbos. Omigos Rinon, Votnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, in Beitza, Meshilin Peirois Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov. If a person has spread out his fruit, his produce, on the roof of his house or on some roof, and he's afraid that the rain is going to pour down and destroy it, he's allowed to lower the fruit or the peiros through the skylight in the roof and let them drop into his house, and that way they will stay protected from the rain. Avloi b'Shabbos, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, even though it's exerting substantial amount of effort. You're allowed to do it, but not on Shabbos. So you see clearly that even though it's also on Shabbos, it's Mutan Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Mi Lo Igaz Rinan? Are you suggesting that we don't make a gzeira Yom Tov or Tu Shabbos? Vatnan, we find explicitly in the Mishnah that we do make a gzeira. Ein bein Yom Tov leShabbos ela oichel nefesh bilvad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is that on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook letzayrich Yom Tov, and on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. But anything else, any issa on Shabbos is also going to be osa on Yom Tov, even though the reasoning that for why it's osa would not apply on Yom Tov, but we make a gzeira, Yom Tov or Tu Shabbos. So now we really have a contradiction between the two Mishnahs. On the one hand, Meshilin, you're allowed to lower the fruits on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. And on the other hand, it says that Ein Bein Yom Tov LeShabbos, that Yom Tov carries all the stringencies of Shabbos. So there seems to be a contradiction here. Omer Rav Yosef is going to attempt to explain why it's not a contradiction. Loi kashya, it's not a contradiction. Ha Rebbe Eliezer, ha Rebbe Yeshua. According to Rebbe Eliezer, he's the one that says that we are Geyser Yom Tov Otu Shabbos, and the Mishnah that says Ein Bein Yom Tov LeShabbos is Rebbe Eliezer. However, the Mishnah that says that you're allowed to exert effort on Yom Tov, even though you're not allowed to exert that level of effort on Shabbos, is Rebbe Yeshua. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. We're familiar with this, we've already learned about this previously. If you have a two animals that fell into a boir on Shabbos, into a pit, or into on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. You have two animals that fell into a pit on Yom Tov. Rebbe Eliezer says you're allowed to lift one of them out of the boir, because an animal, even though it's muktzah on Shabbos, it's not muktzah on Yom Tov. Why is it not muktzah on Yom Tov? Because on Shabbos it's muktzah, because you can't do anything with an animal. You can't shecht on Yom Tov, on Shabbos. On Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht. So it's not muktzah. So you can lift up one of them. But there's a halacha, oisei ves benoi, if an animal with its mother and, or father, it's a discussion in the Gemara, but if an animal with its parent, you're not allowed to shecht both an animal with its mother on the same day. So it cannot be that both of them are going to be shechted. So Rabbi Eliezer says, lift up one of them from the boir. Ma'aleh harishin, al menos l'sheichtei, in order to shecht it on Yom Tov. V'sheichtei, and you should shecht that for Yom Tov. V'asheini, the second animal, oiselei parnosu b'mekoimai, give it food in the pit, lower some food down. It's not going to die there. It's not necessary to lift it out. Leave it. Because it's now muktzah, or you're not allowed to use this animal. You can't shecht this animal on Yom Tov. So there's no reason to allow you to exert that amount of effort to take out the animal on Yom Tov if you cannot shecht it anyway. B'shvil sheleyomus, make sure it has food. It shouldn't die. Rabbi Yeshua argues with Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that you're allowed to exert the effort to take out both animals, but you have to make a type of scheme. How do you do it? You lift up the first animal and you say, yeah, I want to shecht an animal for Yom Tov. And then don't shecht it. And umarim, and just so to speak, make a scheme and say, umales asheni. And then say, no, in truth is, maybe I want to shecht the second one. So now the second one's in the pit. You can lift it up, take it out of the pit. And then once both are out, you can choose whichever one you want to shecht on Yom Tov. So you see there clearly that there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua, whether you're allowed to exert excessive effort on Yom Tov or not. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you're not allowed to. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you're allowed to. So that's what the Gemara, that's what Rav Yosef says, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you're not allowed to exert a lot of effort. That is the Mishnah that says Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Tov. We do not let you exert the effort of lowering the fruits from the rooftop through the sky, through the skylight into the house. You're not allowed to exert effort on Yom Tov. However, the Rabbi Yeshua, he's the one that holds, in the same way as he holds that you're allowed to lift up the second animal, so too he holds that you're allowed to lower the fruits into the house. Says the Gemara. Mimai, who says that Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, who are arguing regarding the animals, would agree that to what we just said now, would also argue regarding lowering the fruits through the skylight? Dilma adkan loika omer Rebbe Eliezer hosom. Elo de efsha leparnosa. It could be Rabbi Eliezer's holds that you're not allowed to lift up the second animal is only because the animal will survive there. De efsha leparnosa. You can give it food in the pit, it will survive till the end of Shabbos. Aval heicha de lo efsha leparnosa. But in the case where you're risking losing something, for example, if the rain comes down on this produce, it's going to get ruined, it could be he'll agree that loy, that you don't have to be machmir, and you are allowed to exert that effort, in which case the mission of Meshilin will not be Rabbi Eliezer. Inami, it could be, Adkan lekomer Rabbi Yeshua hosom. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only says that the reason you're allowed to lift up the second animal is de'efshe ba'aroma, because you can make a scheme, there's some way of pretending that you're lifting it up, even that you need it for Yom Tov. Aval heicha de'loi efshe ba'aroma, but in the case where you cannot make this type of scheme, and it's clear that you're not lowering these fruits for the sake of Yom Tov, you're doing it just in order to save these fruits, loi, then maybe Rabbi Yeshua will agree that you're not allowed to exert that level of effort. Elomer of Papas, or if Papas says, don't tell me that the machleikus, or the seeming machleikus between Ein Bein Shabbos Liyom Tov and the machleikus of Meshilin, that means the seeming machleikus, whether you're allowed to exert the effort and lower the fruit, or whether we say it's like it's also on Shabbos, it's also on Yom Tov, we can't say that's a machleikus Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Papa says, Ho Beis Shammai, Ho Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that we are more machmir on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel says we're more makel. Beis Shammai allows you to do the extra effort on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai does not allow you to do the extra effort on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel allows you to exert that extra effort on Yom Tov. Ditnan, as we saw in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Oimrim, Ein Moitzien Es HaKotten Ves HaLulav Ves Sefer Torah L'Rishus HaRabim. Beis Shammai say that you're not allowed to take out a child or a lulav or a Sefer Torah into a Rishus HaRabim on Yom Tov, because the Beis Shammai hold the only efforts you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is Oichel Nefesh, is to prepare food. But any other Melocha, for example, carrying, if you're carrying because you need it to eat, that's Oichel Nefesh. Or to prepare food, that's Oichel Nefesh. But carrying Shelo Letzerich Oichel Nefesh, you're not allowed to do, because we don't let you do that level of effort on Yom Tov. Or Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel say that you're allowed to carry something even though it's not Letzerich Oichel Nefesh, because Beis Hillel hold that we don't have an issue with exerting a little bit of extra effort on Yom Tov, even though on Shabbos it's awesome. Says the Gemara, no, how do you know that's the Machlekes? Maybe, Eimer, the Shomus Leila Beis Shammai, Hoitza, Tiltul Mishomus Lu. It could be that Beis Shammai only Asar, they only prohibit carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, even on Yom Tov, technically speaking, that's allowed. But Beis Shammai say, to carry on Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to do if it's not Letzerich Oichel Nefesh. However, Mukta, regarding moving something which is muk, which like the fruits, putting the fruits into through the skylight, maybe over there Beis Shammai will say that it's muta, and they won't say Ein Bein Shabbos Liyom Tov. Says the Gemara, v'tiltul gufei lav mishum haitzahi. The only reason that Chachomim said that mukta was also was in order people shouldn't come to carry. Or others explain what it means here, you cannot carry if you don't first do tiltul, which means that it wouldn't make sense to separate carrying from one domain to the next, and carrying as in moving mukta. And if Beis Shammai say, Ein Moitzien Es HaKotten Ves HaLulav Ves HaSefer Torah, they will also say that you're not allowed to move something on Shabbos, which is not on Yom Tov, which is not Letzerich Eichel Nefesh, because it's exerting extra effort, which you're not allowed to do. And therefore, it'll be Beis Shammai, who are the authors of the Mishnah, that say, Ein Bein Shabbos Liyom Tov, and you're not allowed to lower the fruits through the roof hole. And it's Beis Hillel, who say that you're allowed to be Meshilin, you're allowed to lower the fruits through the skylight on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, we're now going back to the sugya of what kelim are allowed to be used for, or moved for what use. Says the Gemara, V'af Rav Sovar Lo Lahod Rava. Rav also agrees with Rava that there's no difference between the Tzerech Kufoy and the Tzerech Makoymoy, and the Klisha Melachtoy Leheta and klisha melachta leisr, one's allowed to move letzerich gufayu mekoymoy. The difference between the two types of kelim is only whether you're allowed to move mechamo letzel, from the sun to the shade. Klisha melachta leheta, you are allowed to. Klisha melachta leisr, you're not allowed to. Rav also follows that Rav says mar, which is a hoe, a type of tool that's melachta leisr. Shaloi yigonev, in order that it shouldn't get stolen, which is similar to mechamo letzel, zehu tiltul shaloi letzeirech va'osa, that's considered shaloi letzeirech, which is osa, as Rava explained on Amud Aleph, that when the Mishnah says, bein letzeirech, bein shaloi letzeirech means to save it, to protect it, mechamo letzel, and is only muta if it's a klisha melachtei leheter, but klisha melachtei leiser, va'osar, it's osar, as we saw before. The only reason that you're not allowed to move it is if your intention is for it not to get stolen. If the reason you're moving it is even though it's a klisha melachta leisr, muta, it's muta, and that's the opinion of Rava. Asks the Gemara Eini, could Rav be following Rava? It seems that not that way. Rav Kahana ikla lebei Rav. Rav Kahana was visiting Rav. V'omar, and he said, Rav said, Aisilye shuta, bring a trap, an animal trap, which is a klisha melachta le'isa. You're not allowed to trap on Shabbos. Bring the trap, le'kahana, in order that Rav Kahana can sit on it. Le'isev oleo. And Rav explained, he didn't just say, bring the trap, and, you know, because we need the trap for whatever. He explained, le'isev oleo, in order that Rav Kahana can sit on it. It's almost as if he said, the reason you're allowed to move the trap is because it's le'tzeirech gufoy. Lav la memra, can we not assume that the reason that Rav explicitly said the words that Rav Kahana can sit on it is the davar shemelachta leisa letzerich gufay in letzerich makoy ma'iloi, is to tell us that the only reason it's muta is because it's letzerich gufay. But if it would be wanting to use it letzerich makoy ma'i, for example, if there would be a trap there and Rav Kahana wanted to sit on the floor where the trap was, whether are you allowed to move the trap away? That's called the Tzeirich Mekoymoy. Loi, that would be Asa. That doesn't follow Rava. So how can you say that Rav follows Rava? It seems here that not. Says the Gemara, Hocha Amalu. What Rav actually says was, Shkulu Shuto, move away the trap, Mikamo Kahana, in order that Rav Kahana can sit down. So he explicitly said, move it away, and even though it's Tzeirich Mekoymoy, it's Mutter, and that conforms with what Rava says. Iboy seimo, or it could be hasam mechamo letzel hava. He wanted to use this kli, this trap, in order to sit on it. Letzerich gufay. However, it happened to be that the trap was in the sun, and now he's bringing it in into the shade. People watching will think that you're allowed to move a klisha melachta leisa mechamo letzel. That's also. Therefore, Rav explicitly said, bring it in, but not because I want to protect it from the heat, but because I want Rav Kahana to sit on it. So he said it in order that people shouldn't think that Mechamo Letzel is Muta, and not in order to impress on us that Letzerich Mekoymoy is also. Continues the Gemara. Rav Meri bar Rochel, Rav Meri the son of Rochel, and Rashi Bob Matziah in Gimel explains why he was called this way. Havalei hahi be sadyusa. He had pillows, b'shimsha, and they were in the sun. Also lekamei de Rava. He came to Rava, this Rav Meri came to Rava, omar lei mau letiltulinhu. Am I allowed to move these pillows out of the sun? Omar lei, Rava said to him, shari, of course it's muta, even though it's mechamo letzel, but it's a klisha melachta leheter, and Rava holds a klisha melachta leheter is muta to be used, to be moved, mechamo letzel. So Rav Mari answered to Rava, isliach rina, but I've got others, I don't need to use them, it's not letzerich gufay, it's only mechamo letzel. Says so Rava answered, chazul orchin, okay, but it's not muktza, other people could use it, it's a klisha melachta leheter. So he says, Isli nami la'archim, I've got enough pillows even for other people to use. Omer Le, Rava responded to Rav Meri, Goliso daitchot de karabas svir lecha. It's very clear from the way you're talking that you follow the opinion of Rabba, and Rabba holds that mechamo letzel is osur regarding a kli that's melachta leheta. So the Kura al-Mashari, the Kura al-Mashari, everybody else would be allowed to move these pillows because it's a klisha melachta leheter, and even mechamo letzel is muta. But leditcha, but you're following Rabba Osir, you're not allowed to move them. Because mechamo letzel, according to Rabba, is Osir, even by a klisha melachta leheter. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Chia, Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. It was said in the name of Rav as follows. Mechabdois shel milsa, brooms that were made with pieces of material, and they were used to wipe the tabletops, and that's mutar on Shabbos. It's a klisha melachta leheter. Mutar letaltel on b'Shabbos, one's allowed to move them on Shabbos. Aval shel tomorrow, if it's a broom made of palm leaves, and that's a type of broom they would use to sweep the floor with, and on the floor is not like the floors we have today that are smooth, that are tiled, rather they are floors that are made of earth, and you're not allowed to sweep those floors on Shabbos because you're going to come to level out the bumps, the ashvagumois, and that's also on Shabbos. And therefore, it's muktzah. No, you're not allowed to move the brooms of the tomorrow on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afshel tomorrow. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're allowed to move even those brooms made of the palm leaves. B'mayos skinon. Let's try and understand what's the machlokes here. Are we discussing using these brooms for something that's mutar on Shabbos? Either l'tzeirich gufay or l'tzeirich mekayimoy, you need to move it away because you need to vacate the place. If that's the case, then why should one not be allowed to move the tomorrow? The brooms of the tomorrow, they might be a klisha melachte le'isar, but l'tzeirich gufay mekayimoy, it's mutar. Rav holds like Rava, as we just saw, that a klisha melachta le'isar is muta le'tzeirich gufay u'mekayimoy. If you would hold like Abaya, it's only muta to be used le'tzeirich gufay, not le'tzeirich mekayimoy. According to Rava, even le'tzeirich mekayimoy is muta. Elo mechamo le'tzeil. We're talking about here that you're moving these brooms to take it out of the sun. And that's why Rav says that you're not allowed to take this broom made of the leaves of the palm out of the sun because it's a klisha melachta le'isar. Klisha melachta le'isar is also to be moved. Mechamo le'tzel. B'ho le'ma Rebbe Lozor afshel tomorrow? So are you saying that in this case Rebbe Lozor, which Saul says afshel tomorrow, that even the broom of the tomorrow, you're allowed to move it? Are you allowed to? Is there anyone that holds you're allowed to move a klisha melachta le'isar? Mechamo le'tzel? Says the Gemara, La'oila mechamo letzel. No, we're sticking with what we just said, that it's mechamo letzel. Ema, but don't read into this quote of what was said in the name of Rav, Rebbe Lozor Omer, afshel tomorrow. Don't say afshel tomorrow, that even tomorrow, the broom of tomorrow, you're allowed to move. V'chein omar Rebbe Lozor, you should say that Rebbe Lozor also holds, like the Chachomim, that you're not allowed to move the broom made of the palm leaves because mechamo letzel is asa, and then Rabbi Lozor is not arguing with the Tanakhama. Continues the next Mishnah. Kol hakelim anitlin b'Shabbos, any vessels, utensils that are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, shivreihem nitlin in mohen. One is also allowed to move the fragments. If they got broken, then the fragments of those kelim are also allowed to be used on Shabbos. Obviously, if these fragments are useless, then they are mukta. They're mukta machmas gufa, you can't do anything with them, and you're not allowed to move them. Ubilvad sheyu oisin me'en melocha. The Tanakhama say there's a condition. These fragments, on what condition is one allowed to move them on Shabbos and they're not mukta? Only on condition that one can perform a task with them. One can do something with them. It's not just useless pieces of fragmented kelim. And therefore, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. And it doesn't matter which melacha you want to do. As long as you can do something sensible with it, it's not mukta. Shivrei areva. If you have the fragments of a mixing bowl, what would you be able to use those fragments for? Lachasis ben piachovis. If you can cover the top of a flask with them, the top of a cask, sorry. Shivris chuchis. What could you use the fragments of a glass container from with? Lachasis ben piapach. You can cover the mouth of a flask with the fragments of a broken glass container. So that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not good enough that with these fragments you can do something with it. For example, you can cover the head of the mouth of a cask or the mouth of a flask. It has to be that these fragments can still do something with them that's similar to what they were used for before they got broken. So Shivri Areva, regarding the fragments of a mixing bowl, you have to, the same way as the bowl itself was used to mix porridge in it, you have to be able to use these fragments, these broken pieces, lotzuk l'toichon mikpeh, in order to pour into them porridge. V'shel zchuchis, and since the glass containers were used in order to contain oil, then once the glass container gets broken, you're allowed to use the fragments on Shabbos on condition that you can use them to contain oil. Lotzuk l'toichon shemen. So if they can still be used for a similar type of purpose that they were before they got broken, then for all intents and purposes, we look at it as if it's not completely broken, as if it still retains its original title and status of a kli. Not as if the original kli got broken. According to Tanna Kamma, the original kli got broken, but you can still use it for something else, as if it acquired a new title of a kli after it got broken. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be able to be used for the same purpose as it was initially. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, Machloikus Shenishburu Me'erev Shabbos. The whole Machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma is if these kelim got broken before the onset of Shabbos. Demar Sovar Me'en Melachton In, Rabbi Yehuda says that they're only not called Muktza if one can still do the melacha that they were supposed to do initially. Me'en melacha acheres, but if the only task they can do is a different task that doesn't retain its title of a kli and its mukta. Or Marasovar and the Chachamim say, afilu me'en melacha acheres, even if it can still do the Tanna Kamma say, as long as it can do some type of a melacha, even if it's not similar to what it was doing initially, it's not mukta. Avol nishbaru b'Shabbos, if these kelim they broke on Shabbos, divrei hakel mutar, since at the onset of Shabbos these kelim were hoyelu muchonin al gabe avien mutar, since the main kli, the kli that there was whole, the parent kli, we'll call it, the parent kli, when Shabbos came in, the kli was whole, it was not mukta. And since it can still do some melacha with it, then it retains the status of kli that its parent kli, when it was still whole, had when Shabbos came in, and mutter, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if it broke on Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to touch them or move them on Shabbos, unless it can still continue being used for what it was initially used. But if they broke on Shabbos, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees, as long as they have some use, they don't lose their status of kli, and you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Moisiv Rav Zutroi. Rav Zutroi is going to ask a question on this Shmuel that we just saw now. Masikin Bekelin. On Yontav, we know, you're allowed to light a fire on Yontav, especially to cook with. Are you allowed to use these broken kelim or any kelim to burn, as to use it as firewood? Masikin bekelim, you're allowed to move kelim, which are utensils, on Yom Tov and put them in the fire. Ve'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim, but you're not allowed to move broken kelim, shards of kelim, in order to put them in the fire. Asks the Gemara, Dinishbru Amos. Let's try and understand. When did these kelim break? Ilema dinishbru be'erev Yom Tov. If they broke on Erev Yom Tov, then already from Erev Yontav they were slated to be used for firewood. They're broken kelim. They shouldn't be mukta bichral. Elolav biyontav. It must be they broke on Yontav. Uktoni, and we see explicitly that masikin bekelim v'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. So you see that even though when Yontav came in, these kelim were not broken yet. The parent kli, the whole kli, was not mukta. It broke on Yontav. Why are you not allowed to move these kelim and put it into the fire on Yom Tov? We said just a moment ago that both Tanoim, the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda, both agree that if it broke on Shabbos, since when Shabbos came in, they were not mukta, they don't become mukta on Shabbos, as long as they can be used for something. Over here, these shivrei kelim, why can't you move them on Shabbos? And even though these kelim, when Shabbos came in, when Yom Tov came in, their usage was to be used as a utensil, whatever they were good for, whichever kelim they were. And when they broke, their use is now no longer to be used in the way that it could have been used. Rather, their use now is to be used for firewood, which is mutar on Yom Tov. But that, according to the Tanakhama, that's called me'en melacha. It can be used for something. So why, according to the Tanakhama, why should it be also to use these shivrei kelim to burn on Yom Tov? Eloi itmar hochi itmar. We're now having a second version of Shmuel. Omer of Yudoma, Shmuel, machlekes shenishbru b'Shabbos. The whole machlekes in our Mishnah is if they broke on Shabbos. De marasovar muchanu, or marasovar noiladu. The Tanakhama say, since they are muchanu, they are able to be used, they are ready to be used for something, you can use it for something, as the Mishnah calls it, me'en melocha, any type of melocha, it's not mukta. Umar sovar noiladu. And Rabbi Yehuda says that if the use that you can use this broken piece of the kli is different to the use that it could be used likatchila, then it's called noilad, it's as if a new type of vessel has been born. Something new born on Shabbos is mukta, says Rabbi Yehuda. If you can continue using it in the same way as you could use it before it got broken, it's not noilad, it's not a new use being born here, and therefore it's not mukta. Avol me'erev Shabbos. If, however, they broke on erev Shabbos, divrei hakol mutar. In that case, everybody agrees that it's not mukta. Hoil v'huchanu le'melacha miboyd yom. Since these broken pieces can be used for something, it doesn't matter what, and it could be used for that something, even before Shabbos came in. So when Shabbos came in, they're called kelim, they're called utensils, and there's no reason they should be mukta. So that's the second version of Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Toni Choda, in one brisa we learned, we're going to see a seeming contradiction with three brises. In one brisa we learned, Masikin b'kelim v'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim. You're allowed to burn kelim on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to carry broken kelim and put them into the fire on Yom Tov. V'tani idoch. A second brisa says, "Kashem shemasikin b'kelim, kach masikin b'shivrei kelim." That not only are you allowed to move kelim that are intact, which everyone agrees with, but we'll soon see. But we would assume that everyone agrees with that. But you're also allowed to move broken kelim and put them in the fire on Yom Tov. V'tanya idoch. And yet a third brisa we learned, "Ein masikin loy b'kelim v'loy b'shivrei kelim." You're not even allowed to move kelim which are whole and intact, and put them in the fire on Yom Tov. How are we going to explain this seeming contradiction? Says the Gemara, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. The first price is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's an Issa of Mukta. Rabbi Yehuda also holds there's an Issa of Noilad, as we saw in our Mishnah. And since there's an Issa of Noilad, he says that you're allowed to move regular Kalim, they're not Mukta. But broken Kalim, they are Mukta and they are Noilad, because they broke on Yom Tov, and since they broke on Yom Tov, then the use that it can be used now, assuming that it cannot be used for its original, for what it was used lekatchila originally, is now a different type of use. It's noilad, it's mukta, you're not allowed to move them. Horeb Shimon, the second brisa that says that you're even allowed to move broken kelim is Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of mukta, he doesn't hold of noilad, and therefore you can even take broken parts of kelim and put them in the fire. Ha Reb Nechemya, the third brisa is following Reb Nechemya. Reb Nechemya says even whole vessels, what are they made for? They're not made to be used as firewood. They're made to be used for whatever you would use these kelim for. It's a bowl, it's a dish. It's not supposed to be used for firewood. Reb Nechemya holds even the kli in fully intact, the kli shemelachti leheter. You're not allowed to move it unless you're using it for the use that it was initially designated for. And since using it for firewood was not its intended use, Ibn Nechemya says it's also. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman. Hani livni, these bricks, the ishtivor mibinyona, they got left over when the person finished building a building. Shori litil tulinu, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos, even though bricks are klisha melachti le'issa. You're allowed to move them to chozu lemizga olayu, since they are fit to recline on them. Sorginhu, if you stack them up, and now you've made it clear that you're not using them to recline on them, vadai, Oktinu, that's definitely called Muktza. It's as if you've set them aside and you've said, I'm using these bricks for building, I'm not using them to recline on. Once you've done an act like that to set them apart, not to be used on Shabbos or Yontov, they are Muktza. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, was said in the name of Shmuel, Cheres Ktano, a small piece of earthenware, a shard of earthenware, Mutter Letaltil B'chotzer. You're allowed to move it in a chotzer. Not necessarily in, you're not allowed to move it in a Rosh Harabim. We'll soon get to that. Or even in a karmelis. In a chotzer, Rashi explains, since there are many other utensils in the chotzer, and you can use this piece of broken piece of earthenware to use as a lid for those kelim, and therefore they are not mukta, and it's called a kli. It's called a kli. You can move them on Shabbos. But in a karmelis, which is a more public area, and we've already seen the Chachomim gave karmelis somewhat the status of Rosh Hashanah, but since a lot of people are hanging around there, it's not common that there should be kelim there. Since it's not common there should be kelim there, it's not fit. Whilst in a karmelis, it's not fit to be used as a lid, and therefore it's muktzah. Rav Nachman today, Omar, that was Rav Nachman said that in the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman himself holds a filu b'karmelis. Even in a karmelis, you're allowed to move these shards of earthenware. The reason is because the karmelis is not a real Rosh Hashanah. It's a place where the public gather, but it's very common for people to sit around there together. And since people are sitting there, sometimes a person spits, and he wants to cover the saliva on the floor, therefore he would use this shard of earthenware, and therefore it's got a use even in a karmelis, so it's not mukta. Aval b'Rosh Hashanah loy, but in Rosh Hashanah, there you're not allowed to, people typically don't sit around there, there's no spit there, and there's no use for this earthenware shard, and therefore in Rosh Hashanah, it's mukta. V'Rav Omar, Rava says, Afilu b'Rosh Hashanah. Even in the Rosh Hashanah, it's not mukta. V'oz de Rava letame. And this is Rava following his own opinion. De Rava have a ka'ozil b'riska de mechuza. Rava was walking in the main street in Rosh Hashanah de mechuza, in a place of mechuza. Asvosi mesonei tino. And his shoes became dirtied with mud. Also, Shammai, his servant, came, Shokal Chaspo, and he lifted up a little piece of earthenware, V'komachapirle, and he wiped his shoes clean. Romu be'rabonon kola, one of the Chachomim raised their voice and shouted at Rava, it's also, it's in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to move this earthenware kli, it's mukta. Omar, so Rava responded, Loi mistaya de loi gemiri, is it not enough that this person shouting is not learned? Learned, Migmar Nami Megamri, is teaching others his misunderstandings. Ilu b'chotzer havoi, if I would be in a chotzer, mi lo have a chazir lichsuye bimona, was this piece of earthenware not fit to cover a utensil with it? Of course it is, so it's not mukta. Hochanami chazir ledidi, here in the Rosh Hashanah, I can use it. It's fit to be used to clean my shoes. Why should I not be able to use it? It's not mukta. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Megufas Chovis Shenishbaro, the lid of a shattered cask. Mutter Letaltel B'Shabbos, you're allowed to move the lid on Shabbos. Tanina Miyachi, we learnt a brisa to this effect. Megufa Shenichsasa, the lid of a cask that got shattered. He, the lid itself, V'Shevreo, and the broken pieces of the cask, mutter letaltel b'Shabbos, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos because the broken pieces still have some use. However, v'lo yisbois mimeno shever, you're not allowed to fix any of these shards, any of these pieces on Shabbos, either by sticking two pieces together or by smoothing and taking away the sharp edges. That's not allowed. It's makah b'patish. You're doing an activity that is giving the final blow, making a kli. That's osa. But to use either the lid or the shvorim, the shards of the broken cask, that's mutter, and you can use it lechaseis bo as a kli in order to cover a utensil with it, v'lismeich bo kari amita, or to support the legs of a bed on it, However, if you threw it into the garbage pile, also at that point you've done an activity that you've more or less said, I don't want to have anything to do with this, I don't intend using it, and then it's muktzah. Maskif la Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked a question. I don't understand. If you say these breakages, these broken pieces, have the title of a kli, who cares that I threw it into the garbage pile? If you take a garment and you throw it into the garbage pile, it becomes muktzah from there. Ela Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, im zorko mi ba'oid yoim la'ashpa asura. If you threw these pieces of the broken cask into the garbage pile before Shabbos, then you've been maktzeh daitoi, then you've more or less set it aside in your mind, and that's how muktzeh works. When you do an activity that sets something aside, it's then muktzeh on Shabbos. However, but if it's a regular kli that you've thrown into the garbage pile, that does not become muktzeh. It's only two things. Number one, that it's shever kli. These are breakages. These are broken pieces. They're not really the original kelim. And number two, you threw them aside before Shabbos. You put them in the garbage pile, then it becomes muktzah. That's how the Ritva explains, that if it's full kelim, even if you threw it into the garbage pile before Shabbos, it would not become muktzah. But these are not kelim. You threw them away before Shabbos, they become muktzah. Emir Tashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.